talking about the flood tonight, and as we were talking, as we are going to be talking about it, there's many things that is very interesting about the flood. It's kind of ironic that, and I'm going to use a word on purpose, inundated with water today. It was all over the streets, and it made me think about the drainage system of San Angelo, or the lack thereof, and just water everywhere. And it caused me to think about how ironic it is for us to be talking about the flood tonight. However, when we think about the flood of Noah, we know that God was going to be destroying the earth. And so he was going to be destroying the earth with water. And this water that God was going to be using was going to not only come from the sky, but he was going to be opening up the windows of heaven. But he was also going to be opening up the fountains of the deep. And so not only was water coming down, but water was coming up. And can you imagine the force behind the water that was coming from the fountains of the deep, and how the waters was coming down upon the people? And we'll have more to say about that. But God was the cause of that. God was the cause of the rain coming down from heaven, if you will, from the sky. And he opened up the vaults of the sky in order to prove a point. And he did prove that point. As Brother Seth read from Isaiah 54 and verse number 9, I found it interesting as I was pondering this today, how God has a way of labeling things. Just like when you think of God's law. But he would call it the Ten Commandments, but he would also, Brother Brian, call it the Law of Moses. He would put a man's name to it. Well, Isaiah 54, and verse number 9, he calls it the waters of Noah, the waters of Noah. And so I thought that was very interesting, you know, a little trivia for us, if you will. And it's right there in the scriptures. But also, when we think about the word water there, is the idea, or the word flood, the idea of inundating or an outpouring. So according to what I've studied, this was the first time, Brother Dietrich, that water fell from the sky like this. And so God told Noah that he needed to build an ark, and it's going to rain. Well, it rained all right. And it rained and it rained and it rained, to the point that the Bible says for 40 days and 40 nights, it was coming down, if you will. And so when we think about this, it sounds like God was being very intentional when he brought this water. And the reason why was because of the wickedness of man. The reason why is because of sin. So we see 40 days, 40 nights, it's raining. And according to Genesis 7, if you will, and look at verse number 24, it remained on the earth for how many days? 150. That's a long time. How many months would we say that would be? About at least four, pushing 4 months. 5 months? It's a long time for water to be on the earth. Yet God was being intentional. He was making a point. And so this flood came about. And according to Genesis 8 and verse number 9, look at that text. Some who are skeptics of the Bible and who have a desire to cause us to doubt God say that this flood was a local flood. But according to Genesis 8 and verse number 9, it was a universal flood, because the Bible says that the water covered what?
The entire world.
The entire or the whole earth. And so when I teach on this and I go different places, I love to say where we live right now was flooded with water. And it's very interesting. You can go to some high hills or mountains and you'll find things that belong in the water on top of the mountains. Well, how did it get up there? One thing I love about God, he's the God of evidence. He's the God of evidence. Yes, sir, Brother Leon.
In Genesis chapter 7, verse 20, it says that the water was 50 cubits upward and the mountain was covered. So it was 50 cubits above the highest mountain.
That's right.
You can imagine that 25.5 feet above the highest mountain.
So, Brother Leon, do you believe God was being intentional? Do you believe he was making a point? And he made that point. And so it caused me to think about some things. Yes, sir.
In all countries, they'll tell that there was a great flood and it was caused by the gods and the man's immorality.
I find it interesting also, it doesn't matter what culture, where you go, in their own language, they have artifacts or writings or inscriptions talking about the flood. Universal. Friends, don't let anyone talk you out of that. The Bible tells us that it was a universal flood. And so either the divine record is true or the divine record is false. And we subscribe to those that it is true. And so with that, this flood, God changed the whole landscape of the earth. So from what I gather, it was one large landmass until the flood, and then things started breaking up. Why? He broke up the deep. He broke up the earth. But we have to ask ourselves, why did this happen? Look at Genesis 6. Look at verse 5 and 6. Genesis 6, 5 and 6. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 6, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So we get a little bit of insight on why God did what he did. But then drop down to verse number 11 and 12. Verse 11 and 12. And notice what the Bible says. Now, the earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with what? Violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Now, I don't believe that the word earth there is a metaphor for human beings. Believe that the word earth there is talking about the earth itself. It was corrupted by man. Man was wicked, corrupted himself. He corrupted the earth. But I want you to take notice of something. Look at the word violence in verse number 11. And I was pondering this. And whoever has any type of blue letter Bible, look up that word violence. Look at the word violence. Tell me what is that word in the Hebrew?
Hamas.
Say again. Hamas. 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 What do you mean Hamas? Oh, yeah. You think about the Hamas terrorist group. And I said to myself, I know it's not hiding underneath our nose like that. Now, Hamas has its acronyms for different things, but the definition is still violence, terror, harm. There was violence upon the earth. People were causing terror in the life of each other. God said, I didn't create you for that. Brother Brian, God created us to honor him and to honor one another. And it made me think about this. And I made this point on Sunday night. I'll make it right here. It doesn't matter what time period or dispensation man lived in. He had always had a desire for man to love him and to love his neighbor as himself. Doesn't matter. And they were not doing that. As a matter of fact, they were doing the opposite and causing great violence upon the earth. And so because of man's wickedness and because of the earth being corrupted, both of them paid the price. Both of them paid the price. And so what did God have to do? God had to cleanse the earth, and he had to cleanse sin from off the earth. He had to get rid of those who were committing it. And so put this in your notes if you're taking notes. And this validates that Noah was a real character and this event actually happened. If people believe that Jesus Christ was a real man, a real figure, came forth from God himself, verse 37 and 38, Jesus references Noah and the flood. Again, this ought to tell us that that was a real time. Let's look at that. Let's notice what was going on during that particular time. Brother Randy, if you don't mind, Matthew chapter 24, 37 and 38. Let's take notice what was going on when the flood began. Okay? What does the Bible say? Matthew 24, 37 and 38.
But the day of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark.
What were they doing, friends? What were they doing? When it began to rain and the windows of heaven were being fountains of the deep were opened up and the windows of heaven was being opened up, what were they doing?
Party.
Huh?
Eating and drinking.
Eating and drinking.
Party.
What were they doing?
They
were just living their lives regularly, just like what we're doing right now. Now, if that's not humbling, brethren, I don't know what is. It wasn't no special day. It was a day in which God says, okay, it's time. Noah, get inside the ark. All the animals are in there. God closes the door. And here come the catastrophe. Here come the calamity, and man could do nothing about it because he was outside of the ark, pun intended, of safety. Any comments? Anybody want to add anything? The more I thought about this, it made me think about Genesis 6:3. Because before the flood and the building of the ark, God was always trying to influence the people. In Genesis 6 and verse number 3, the Bible teaches us, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. In other words, God was going to be talking with his people or talking to his creation through prophets, through preachers. And of course, Noah would be one of those preachers that he would be striving with the people. Do what's right. Repent. Don't live like that. Get inside the ark. Hold on. Aren't we doing that even today? Aren't we striving with people today? I don't have time to go into this, but John 16, verses 7 through verse number 13 is divine commentary on this idea. We're striving with man with the word of God. So God is always trying to get his people to go out and talk to the people of the world for them to get inside of the ark of safety. And that ark of safety today is what? It's the church of Christ. That's it. And just as there was one ark then, There's one church now. Amen? Do we still believe that? Because I travel too far. I hear brethren sometimes, and sometimes I wonder if they truly believe that the church of Christ is the only way back to the Father. Some of us don't even believe that. And I'm not talking about here in this locale, but I'm talking about in the church. And that's unfortunate. Because if that's the case, Brother Daniel, then there should have been some other arcs out there. But there was only one ark. Just like there's only one church. Leon. I don't know. I don't know. And the reason why I don't know, because when I think about Noah, and I looked at this in Genesis 5 and verse number 32, he was 500 years old when he begat his three sons, yet he was 600 years old when he went inside the ark. I don't know. I don't know. So I anticipated that. I don't know. If anybody figures that out, let me know, because most people say, well, Noah, he preached for 120 years. But if that's the case, we're 20 years shy. I don't know. Ryan, you got any ideas on that?
As I say, some people say that's the starting of the Catholic theology, but again, I
Royce, you got anything on that? Brian?
Preached for 120.
Huh?
Preached for 120.
He preached for 120? Well, he was 500 years old when he had his sons.
Give or take.
Yeah, and that's the only thing I could say, give or take. But if somebody was to press me on that and being a stickler to the scriptures, I couldn't defend that. But that's me. But I can say this. It was about 100 years from the time which he had those sons to the time he went inside that ark. He was preaching. That was more than enough time for people to turn away from sin and get inside that ark. Yes. Go ahead.
He was preaching, which seems to be the contrast in 2 Peter 2:5, back to Genesis 6. And he's building the Ark of Safety the whole time. And
yes.
He has 120 years to prepare, showing enough mercy, and my spirit's not going to strive.
That's right.
My spirit, as in preaching, like you said, Paul told Timothy not to strive with certain men. You know, there are times when you have to feel that, well, that ark was shut up. They sat back and they saw the evidence of God and they realized they're doomed. God told them just 120 years.
Yeah, this John, well, that striving in John 16, verses 9 through verse number 13, is more of a contending. And so God contends through his word with man in order to get him to see that he or she needs to turn away from sin. Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say, this weekend when we were at worship, the sermon was actually on evangelism.
Yeah.
And one of the first things he said was that he was talking to the church. And he said, the first thing, we have to believe that this is the only way.
Yeah.
Because if we don't believe in one church, why do we need to evangelize? Everybody else is safe and all their little,
that's right. That's right.
Which was a great point, but it brings me back to Noah. What if Noah didn't believe God? Him and his own family.
That's right. Excellent. Excellent. So if you look at Genesis 6:8, why Noah? Why Noah? The Bible tells us that he found grace in the sight of the Lord, or in the eyes of the Lord. And in verse number 9, the Bible teaches us something about Noah. He was a just man. The word perfect means blameless in his generation. So let me make this little quick point, because some people read the word perfect and they automatically think without sin. No, it's blameless. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us in Philippians 2:15 to be blameless, which means that when we sin, we make it right. And when you make it right, then no one can bring that charge against you. Brethren, you don't get no more perfect than that. Jesus is the only one that has never sinned. Every last one of us have sinned or will sin eventually.
Which a preacher of righteousness, Peter, says the gospel is the righteousness of
yes,
God.
That's right.
So he was a preacher of the right. He was just. He was found grace.
That's right.
He was preaching what was right.
That's right. And if you ask people what grace is, they're all over the map. But grace is God's teaching. God's teaching is a system of teaching that demonstrates his righteousness, which shows you how to live your life. Now, if you notice, he found grace. He was a just man. He was blameless. He walked with God. He respected God. He revered God. So when I think about this flood and I think about Noah, why did he choose Noah to work through? Because the man lived right before him. But it's the same for us. If we're going to escape calamity on that last day when God sends his son, friends, we have to find grace in the sight of God. We have to live lives that are just, blameless, and we have to be walking with him. And so Brian brought out a point that I want to capitalize on real quick, and then I'll sit down, we'll have a song, and then I'll come right back up. But Noah was doing two things at the same time. He was preaching, and he was building. And guess what we do today? We're going out there, and we're proclaiming to the world that Jesus is the Son of God. And we're building our lives and building things and building businesses, and which is nothing wrong with that. But Noah, he preached and he built. And he preached and he built. And one thing I love about this account, when you think about, look at 1 Peter chapter 3 real quick. This will be the last thing I say and then I'll come back. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, it shows something about God. He could have easily said, okay, I'm done with these people. I'm going to destroy everything and leave no remnant. But that's not him. And that ought to say a lot about us too, that we're not trying to destroy people. We shouldn't be trying to destroy people. If anything, we want to see people saved because God wants to see people saved. So in 1 Peter 3 and verse number 20, notice what the Bible here says. Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine longsuffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being what? Prepared. God waited. God wasn't going to move until Noah finished his work of building that ark. And it made me think about Jesus. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, maybe Jesus ain't finished building yet. He's not finished preparing yet, but when he gets done preparing, oh, he's going to come back for the church. Oh, yes. Brother Brian, come lead us in a song, and then we'll finish up.